All right. While they're slipping out, go ahead and be, if you would please, looking in your Bible, Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to be talking about, and probably you already guessed from the theme of some of the songs that we've already been singing, I'm going to be talking about the heavenly city this morning. I'm going to be talking about the heavenly city. During my lifetime, God has given me the privilege to see some of the most beautiful sights in all the world. Remember years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to go up to Canada to a place called Banff and stood there in a parking lot. It was hot. We got on a lift and went up the side of this mountain, just went up and 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 up. And I thought we were going to heaven. We just kept going up and up and up. And finally, we got off the lift, and it was snowing up there. Can you believe that? When we got off the lift, they were giving coats to everybody, you know. But standing there on the Canadian Rockies, my goodness, that was a beautiful sight. I mentioned in the Sunday school hour this morning, snorkeling on the coral reefs there in Thailand and seeing the beauty there. Been to the Black Forest in Germany and seen the beauty of all of that. Just so many beautiful places. And of course, the best of all was when I landed in Singapore. But see all the beautiful places that God has made. And then, of course, you think about all the animals, right? I remember some years ago we took a mission trip. We went to Penang and visited with our missionary brother Tur there. And I remember they took us around sightseeing to see some different things. And one of the things that we went to see was a butterfly collection. And I remember going through there, and they had these just literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of butterflies from all over the world, and each one was so unique, the intricate design and the colors and just amazing to see God created all of that and put all of that together. Now think about it. All the beautiful things that we see in the world today, Exodus chapter 20 verse 11, it was all made in 6 days. All right? It's all made in 6 days. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. No wonder the Bible says that we can't even begin to imagine how beautiful that place must be. I've shared this story with you before, but I'll tell you again because it fits so beautifully here. As you know, a couple of years ago, we made an emergency trip back to the States. My dad passed away, and we went back to the States for just a short time for the funeral and all of that. Just a couple of days before he passed away, my niece, who is a nurse, had gone to take care of him, Aaron, and she had gone to be there. She was used to working night shifts, and so she told my mom and my sister, you just, you know, take care of the day. I'll take care of it night. Y'all can get your rest and sleep. I'm used to it. I do it all the time. And so at nighttime, she would, a lot of times she would sit there and talk to my dad and hold his hand, you know, and all of that. And so a lot of times he would just kind of reach out for her, you know, and she would take his hand and talk to him. And she said that one night, as she was holding his hand, said all of a sudden he began talking. And she began to listen to try to hear what he was saying. And she realized, he's not talking to me. And he's not talking to anybody I can see. But he's talking to somebody. And then his eyes opened and he looked straight at her and he said, Aaron? And she said, what is it, Papa? And he said, it is so beautiful over there. Now, I don't know what he saw. I sure wish I could have been there in time to talk to him and to ask him about it. I don't know exactly what he saw. But in our text today, we're going to get just a brief glimpse of what God has prepared for us. We're going to get just a brief glimpse of the beauty of that place that is called the heavenly the heavenly city. As we come to the end of the book of this Revelation, we have seen, of course, you remember, we have seen the final judgment, right? We've seen how that all the wicked dead have been called up. They stand before the great white throne. They have been judged according to the books. Their sentence has then been executed. They are cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says that is the second death. They're going to be forever separated from God, and they're going to be tormented in that terrible place that the Bible calls hell. And they're going to be there forever and forever, lost and without hope. But what about those of us who are saved? What does God have in store for us? Well, in these final two chapters of the Revelation, we're given just a brief glimpse of our eternal future. What is it that as believers, I mean, we talk about going, okay, we're going to heaven, but exactly what all does that entail? What all does that involve? And so you remember last time we saw there's going to be a new creation, right? There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. We also saw there's going to be a new Jerusalem. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. And then we also saw there's going to be a new tabernacle. Going to be a new tabernacle. Now the Apostle John is going to give us now, as we come to verse 9 and verse number 10, John is going to give us a sort of a guided tour, if we could put it that way. He's going to give us a guided tour as we go through this place called the New Jerusalem. As we go through the place called the New Jerusalem, notice it beginning in verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, this has caused many commentators to have fits trying to understand exactly what it's talking about here. Because John says that God said, or the angel said, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife, and then he showed him a city, you know. And so they've written reams and reams of paper trying to give an explanation for that. And actually, it's not all that hard to figure out. I mean, stop and think about it this way. Let's suppose that tomorrow morning I want to go see Brother Patrick. And so I want to go visit with him. And so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to his house. In other words, I'm going to go to the place where he stays, you see. I'm going to go to the place where he stays. And that's exactly what we find here. John was given a tour of the home of the Lamb's bride. He said, I want to show you the bride. Well, let's go to her house. I'll show you where she lives. I'll show you where she lives. And so as we saw several weeks ago, the Lamb's bride is who? It's the church. So this is our dwelling place. This is our eternal home that God is preparing for us. And as we consider our text today, several main thoughts about that heavenly city. Seven main thoughts about the heavenly city that I want us to notice together for the next few minutes. Number one, and we sang about it a little bit ago. I want us to notice, number one, the glory of it. The glory of it. Having, verse number 11, having the glory of God. Now this is a city. It's a city made up of people. It's a city made up of the Lamb's bride. And notice this city, the Bible says, has the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. But the thing I want you to notice here right away is that the glory of this city, notice it, the glory of the city is God's glory. Did you get that? The glory of the city, it's God's glory. But what is God's glory like? Well, there's no way we can fully describe what God's glory is like. In fact, even if I had the ability to describe it to you, mentally we would not be able to comprehend it. Our finite mind would not be able to grasp the whole greatness of God's glory. But in the book of Psalms, the psalmist gives us a glimpse of the glory of God. He describes it in these words, Psalms 19, verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. Right? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. So the glory of God then can be seen in the vastness of the heavens. In the vastness of the heavens. In other words, God's glory has no boundaries. Has no boundaries. It just goes on and on and on. God's glory is seen in the vastness of space. It's also seen in the brilliance of the stars. The brilliance of the stars give us a picture of God's glory, because God's glory is light, right? God's glory is light. In fact, that's why in the book of Revelation, in verse 23 of our text, notice what it says. It says concerning the city has no need of the sun. Doesn't need the sun. Doesn't need the moon to shine in it. Why? Here's the reason. For the glory of God did lighten it. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And so because His glory is there, the Apostle John noticed something else in verse number 22. Because God's glory is in that place, notice it, I saw no temple therein. Saw no temple in that city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Why did people go to the temple in the Old Testament? To meet with God. Well, when we live in that place, we don't need a temple, because God is there. And we are there. And forever shall we be with the Lord. In other words, we don't have to go to a place to meet God. We'll be with God. We'll be with Him for all of eternity. And so the glory of it. Number two, I want us to notice what John has to tell us concerning the construction of it. How is this city constructed? How is this thing all put together? How's it put together? Well, I want you to notice several things about the construction of this place called heaven. First of all, I want you to notice it is walled. It is walled. Verse number 12 tells us that it had a wall that was great. That means it's thick, okay? And it was high. So it's a wall that is thick. It's a wall that is high. Now, if you look down to verse 17 and verse number 18, here's what it says. It says, and He measured the wall thereof. So here we're going to get the dimensions, okay? So He measured the wall thereof. It was 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man. A cubit, by the way, for the young people. Brother Mingfai gave us a test yesterday in the youth meeting. All of our young people now, they know how big a cubit is, right? You guys remember that? You remember that? It's from where? From the elbow here. That's the cubit of a man. It's about 18 inches. My cubit would be shorter than other people's cubits, okay? But you get the idea. It's somewhere in that area. So the cubit of a man, it's 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of the man, that is, of the angel, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. So this wall then, it's 144 cubits, which would translate, it's about 67 meters tall. That's how tall the wall is. About 67 meters tall. And the whole thing, the Bible says, is transparent. The whole wall is transparent. In other words, it's as clear as crystal. It's clear as crystal. And so it's a walled city. We need to remember that. Number two, we also need to know it is gated. It is gated. Verse 12 and verse number 13. This city had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates. Now, as you go through here, you'll notice you see the number 12 quite a bit, don't you? You see the number 12 quite a bit. And you'll notice here the number of gates. There are 12 of them, right? There are 12 gates. You see the number of guardians. There are 12 angels who are guarding the gates. You see the 12 tribes. One name on each of the 12 gates is there. You see the substance of those gates. It's 12 pearls, okay? 12 pearls. In fact, notice down in verse number 21, we find a little something extra concerning these gates that are made of pearl. Notice it says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate. Now, what does that mean? Well, what that simply means is every other gate. Okay? Every other gate is one pearl. So what that means is you have gates, right? They open like that. That's one pearl. And so there's actually two pieces for that made of that one pearl. And so the next one is two gates, but 12 pearls, okay? 12 pearls. And so the gates, it is a gated. For those of you who live in condos, you'll understand this. It is a gated community, okay? It's a gated community. No HDB in heaven. Everybody have a gated community, okay? Everybody have a gated community. So it's walled, it is gated. Number three, I want you to notice the third thing. It is founded. It is founded. Verse number 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Okay? Got 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, this foundation is going to have, as the Bible tells us here, it's going to have 12 layers. It's going to have 12 layers. And in them, in each layer, it's going to be made of a different stone, and each layer is going to carry the name of one of the 12 apostles. Now, the stones are listed for us in verse 19 to verse number 20. First of all, there is the jasper stone. This is a stone that it's radiant, it's white, it's clear as crystal. We've already seen that stone in the wall, right? And so there's the jasper. There's the sapphire stone, a stone that is a brilliant blue in color. There's the chalcedon stone, a sky blue stone that has translucent white stripes running through it. There is the emerald stone, a stone that is a blazing bright green in color. There's the sardonyx stone, a stone that is red with white mixed in it. There is the sardis stone, a stone that is deep, deep red in color. There's the chrysolite, a stone that is a lucid gold yellow kind of a tinted stone. There's the beryl stone, a stone that is sort of sea green in color. There's the topaz, a stone that is a transparent yellow-green in color. There's the chrysoprase, which is a stone that is another shade of green. There's the juncanith, a stone that is a brilliant, shining violet color. And there's the amethyst, a stone that is a deep purple in color. With all of those colors, and all of those stones, and imagine the blazing glory of God being the light of that place. Can you just imagine the rainbow of color that's going to surround that city? It's going to be awesome, folks. It's going to be awesome. With all of those colors, it's going to be an amazing thing to see. But notice it. Not only are these 12 foundations made up of beautiful gems, notice what we also find. Verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished. You know what that means? That means they're decorated. These are the accessories. Okay? They're decorated with all manner of precious stones. One writer, I think, said it very well when he said this, and I'll quote, "Our God is a God of beauty, and He will lavish His beauty on the city He is preparing for His people." Boy, that's an awesome thing to think about, isn't it? Awesome thing to think about. I want you to notice a fourth thing about this city. Notice a fourth thing. It is huge. It is huge. I remember one time I was reading biography on Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone was a famous explorer, and back in the U.S., back in the early days, and Daniel Boone lived in the Cumberland Mountain area, and Kentucky, west or eastern Tennessee, in that area. And in fact, my grandmother, on my dad's side, my grandmother was a Boone. And she remembered going from Kentucky to Tennessee in a covered wagon back when she was just a little kid. She could remember that. And there's some evidence that I might be related to this guy. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Everybody's impressed, right? Okay, anyway, Daniel Boone, though, I was reading his biography. And the story was told that he was out hunting one day, and as he was going through the forest, he was hunting food for his family, and he saw another family over there building a cabin. And so immediately he stopped, he turned around, he walked about 16 kilometers from where he was back to his own cabin, and he told his wife, he said, "Honey, start packing, it's time to move. It's getting crowded here." I'll tell you right now, we won't have that problem in heaven. Not going to have that problem in heaven. The tabernacle, you remember, and I believe that if we want to kind of know what heaven is like, I think we kind of need to look at the tabernacle. Kind of need to look at the tabernacle or the temple. But you remember the tabernacle? There in heaven, the tabernacle was surrounded by a wall. Remember that? Tabernacle was surrounded by a wall. The only way that you could enter the tabernacle was to come in. You had to come in through the gate right there. Had to come in through the gate. You'd come in through the gate, and there was the altar, and then there was the laver, and then you would come into a place called the holy place. In the holy place, there were three things. There was the table of showbread on the one side, there was the candlelight on the other side, and then right in front of the veil was the altar of incense. And then there was the veil that divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was the place where God dwelt. Right? That was the place where God dwelt. In the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant. Over the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. Over the mercy seat were the cherubims with their wings stretched out. That's the place where the high priest would come once a year, anointed with blood to make atonement for the sins of the people. And the Bible says that God dwelt right there between those cherubim. That was His dwelling place. And the interesting thing about that is that this room right here was a perfect cube. It was a perfect cube. In other words, it was 10 cubits, or translate that, about 4.5 meters. It was about 4.5 meters wide, about 4.5 meters deep, and about 4.5 meters high. It was a perfect cube inside that place where God dwelt. Now, when we get to heaven, we will never be separated from God, right? We're never going to be separated. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So we'll never be separated from God. And so when we get to heaven, we are always going to be, we're always going to be in His presence. We're always going to be in His presence. So it's not surprising then to find that heaven, just like the Holy of Holies, is going to be a cube. It's going to be a cube. For example, look at it. Verse 15, verse 16. "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square. That means all four sides equal. Okay? It's a cube. And so the city lies four square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. And the length and the breadth and the height, they are all what? They're all equal. That's a cube, folks. There's no other way you can describe it. It's a cube. And so heaven is going to be a cubed city, which according to the Bible is going to be 12,000 furlongs in each direction. Width, depth, height. 12,000 furlongs. Now one furlong is about 201 meters. That's one furlong. Is about 201 meters. Eight furlongs is equal to about 1.6 kilometers. 1.6 kilometers. Now, if you do the math, what that means is simply this. Heaven is about 2,414 kilometers in every direction. In every direction. Okay? Now, that means, for those of you who've been to the U.S. or you've been to Australia, U.S., they're about the same size. Heaven is going to be about half as big as the U.S. or Australia. It's going to be about half as big. Now, just to give you a point of reference, to kind of put this in your head, Singapore has 241 square miles. 241 square miles. Now, if heaven is populated at the same ratio of people per square mile that Singapore is, okay, that we have today, if Singapore or heaven is populated at the same ratio of people per square mile, that means that heaven will hold 53,214,750,000 people. That's on the ground floor. That's on the ground floor. Remember, there's no HDB in heaven, right? But there may be a lift. You see, remember, you have to remember, heaven is also 2,414 kilometers high, right? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us. No way we can know. But let's just suppose that heaven has four levels, okay? At 2,414 kilometers high, it's divided into four levels. That means each one of these levels right here, each level will be about, where is it? I've got it here in my notes. There it is. 604 kilometers high. Each level, 604 kilometers high. Now, in other words, let me just kind of put that in perspective for you. You see that little arrow right there? If this is the earth and we were to go to as high as that arrow is, you know what we would find? We would find the International Space Station. That's how far it is above the earth. You see, the International Space Station is only 400 kilometers above the earth, and yet each level, if there are only four levels in heaven, and there may be even more than that. But what I'm trying to get into your head, folks, this place God has prepared, it is huge. It is huge. Not only is it huge, there's another thing I want us to notice about it. Letter E. It's golden. It's golden. The Bible says, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now that's some pure gold, folks. That's some pure gold. It's so pure but it's almost like glass. Almost like glass. In fact, notice this, verse 21, and the street of the city was pure gold. Pure gold. Heard about a fellow one time, he's getting ready to die. And so he began to pray. He said, "Oh God, I've worked hard all my life. I've accumulated all of this wealth. I've got gold bullion. I've got silver bullion." He knew Patrick real well. He said, "I've got all this bullion here. And Lord, I don't mind leaving my house and I don't mind leaving cars and things. But you know, my gold, I'd really like to take that to heaven. And I know the Bible says we came in with nothing, we leave with nothing. But Lord, would you just make one exception for me and let me bring just some of my gold?" And so the Lord very graciously said, "You can bring one suitcase of gold." So the man gets to heaven, and when he comes, by the way, folks, some of you are looking way too serious. This is a joke, okay? I just want you to know, this is a joke. And so he gets to heaven, right? And he comes to the pearly gate, and St. Peter is there, you know, and St. Peter said, "Hey, what you got in the bag?" Kind of like customs, you know. "What you got in the bag? You're not supposed to bring anything here." "Well, I've got special permission. Here's my permit. I got special permission. The Lord said I could bring one suitcase with me." And he said, "Oh, well, open it up. Let's see what you got." And so he opens it up, and there's all this gold in that suitcase. And St. Peter looks at him and says, "Why did you bring asphalt?" Yeah, the streets are paved with gold in that heavenly city. It's a golden city. The streets are paved with gold, as it were, transparent glass. In other words, it's the purest gold like we've never seen before. It's an awesome city. It's an awesome city. Now we need to hurry. Notice number three, the inhabitants of it. The inhabitants of this city. First of all, the bride will be there. The bride will be there. As we've already noted, the bride is the church, and she will have her place in that glorious city. In fact, that's the very promise that the Lord Jesus gave. We alluded to it a moment ago, but let's look at it now in the full context. John chapter 14, verse 2 and verse 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so the church, the bride's lamb, or the lamb's bride, I'm sorry, is going to be there. It's her place that God has prepared for her. But not only is the bride or the lamb's bride going to be there, but I want you to notice all of the rest. All of the rest who are going to be there. I'm talking about the Old Testament saints. And I'm talking about the New Testament saints who were saved by faith in Jesus Christ but never became a part of the church by baptism. I'm talking about the tribulation saints. I'm talking about the millennial saints. I'm talking about all of those other saints from all of the ages who are going to be in that place. As we're going to see next time, even though they're going to have a home in that city, they're going to have work on that new earth that God is going to create. That's an amazing thing to think about as well. But even though they're going to have a place on this earth to work, their home will be there. And so the Bible says in verse 24 and following, it says, "And the nations of them which are saved..." The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Apparently this city is going to come down. It's going to hover over the earth. Men and women on the earth will walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth, that is those whom God appoints to rule over various parts of His new creation, are going to bring their glory and honor to that city, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations to it. I'll be honest with you, there's a lot in there. I can't honestly say I fully understand, but I do understand this. It's going to be an awesome place. It's going to be an awesome place. Certainly the things that God is preparing for us are more than wonderful. But you know what? Even though I can't tell you everything about what all is there, I can tell you with absolute certainty what will not be there. I can tell you with absolute certainty what will never be found in that place. You know what it is? Look at it in verse 27. And there shall in no wise. That simply means under no circumstances, under no conditions, there are no exceptions that are going to be made. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh an abomination. That is, anything that does anything contrary to that which is holy and right according to the Word of God. And neither will there be anything that's going to enter in that maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See? They which are written. So if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God could never allow you to come into His city. God could never allow you to enter into that place because by your sin you would defile that place that is absolutely holy. That place which is absolutely clean and pure. And that's why only those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because their hearts have been cleansed by repenting of their sin and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, only they are going to be allowed to enter into that city. So my question would simply be this: is your name recorded in that book? Is your name recorded? Is it written down there? Do you know that you're saved? And if you know that you're saved, then are you actively seeking to bring others to our Savior? There's plenty of room up there, right? Plenty of room. And you remember in the parable the Lord Jesus gave? You remember in the parable that He gave, Jesus told about the master who told His servant, here's what He said. He said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Why? That My house might be filled. That My house might be filled. May God help us to be faithfully bringing others to the Savior, that His house might be filled with those who have put their faith and trust in the provision that Christ made for them. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning.